Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. I'm Steve Hoare, delighted to be joined by Ian Young and John Reid for the match preview show. It's a biggie as well, yes, it's Arsenal versus Liverpool, 4:30 at the Emirates on Sunday. A massive, massive clash at the top of the Premier League table. And look at it, there is already Diggle, as such table is there. Yet Liverpool sit obviously top on 51 points. From 22 games played. City a second, 46 from 21. Then Arsenal, 46 from 22 in third. John, I'll come to you first. There's a chance here for Liverpool to put themselves 8 points clear of Arsenal if they do it. That doesn't write Arsenal out of the title race, but it puts them in a real precarious position, and it's a massive boost for the Reds. You end up almost in a two-horse race. Not quite, but nearly there. It's a massive game for both teams, mate, isn't it?
It is, and it's, you know, as you say, it's, I think that's what frames it for me. It's the, I don't want to say it's last chance saloon, because as you say, anything can happen, but it feels a bit like it's a bit now or never for Arsenal. You know, they had a bit of a blip, didn't they, after we last played them in terms of form and stuff, and it being at their place and sort of the record we've had, you know, in terms of it being a place to go and not really getting much, you'd think this is the one where maybe they turn a bit of a corner and claw a bit back. But, you know, if we go there and do the business and we do pick up all 3 points, then, you know, they're such a way back then that you've got to start thinking their focus might shift elsewhere.
Absolutely. We'll talk about teams and stuff in a minute, Ian, but Jürgen did mention before, it's the third time we've played them now. Obviously, we will be the third time. Obviously, drew at Anfield in the league, beat them in the FA Cup in a, you know, a game that Arsenal very easily could have won themselves if they'd been able to convert some of the chances they made. Liverpool defended well. It is a thing where you play a team for the third time. There's no secrets now. I know both teams are different. There's injuries and whatever, especially on Liverpool's behalf and players away, whatever. But the third time you play a team in a season, like you say, everyone knows everything now. There's no hit. You know, everyone knows exactly what's coming up against. We saw that with Fulham, how difficult it was against Fulham because we played them so many times. And we're about to hear again with Arsenal.
Yeah, and I think both teams will know the other's weaknesses, which will make for a pretty exciting game, I think, on Sunday. I think when we played them as well, I think their form's been patchy, I'd say, since December in the Cups and in the league. So we've been talking Liverpool about when we click. We're getting points now when we haven't clicked yet. I think we've just seen Liverpool maybe just click the last couple of games. I think this is what we've been waiting for. So hopefully Arsenal are going to be playing the best Liverpool can be, with players coming back, players fully fit. Can't wait. I think it'll be a really, really good game.
Yeah, fingers crossed. It's a good game because we could, one that we win would be the most important thing. Right then, let's have a little look at Arsenal first then, John, before we start delving into Liverpool and such team news matters. Arsenal, they've won the last two Premier League games. They were actually quite good against Footy, but all right, against Forest, although it seems like they can't quite kill games just yet. It seems like they're always holding on at the end. They're getting a couple of players back. They're still without a few as well. Mainly Tomiyasu, obviously he's still away, but they've got a relatively fit squad. I think Partey's the only major player you'd say is still out. What have you made of Arsenal over the last few weeks?
Yeah, they've been a bit in and out. I was like looking at like the form guard and stuff on the way in, and like, you know, I think they're off the back. I think it was two defeats, a draw, and then two wins, and at home the 4-5 with wins. Obviously you'd expect at the Emirates, but they've been a bit. I think with them, it's more the feeling. Like, clearly the form's picked up, as you say, and like they're getting players back, and, you know, they've had this sort of, they've had the problem, I guess, of the inconsistency in front of goal. You know, they clearly, you know, at the back, pretty solid, certainly in midfield, they're very strong, and then up front is where they're sort of struggling to put it away, and it almost, in an entirely different way, feels like the problem they had under Wenger, where it was like they're almost trying to score the perfect goal rather than, you know, just take the chances that they're given. And, you know, in terms of people like, you know, Kai Havertz and the like, and just not quite being a striker, you know, they've got a number nine in the team, like a classic number nine. You think they'd probably feel a lot more confident going into this game than what they do. And, you know, we're sat here now just after the window's shut and they haven't gone out and done any business in terms of the striker. I know there was all sorts of chat around Tony at Brentford and stuff, but they're a weird team because I think you look at all the money they spent in the summer and obviously what happened last season and stuff in terms of the league and challenging City. I think on paper, they're probably a stronger team this season, and certainly when I've seen them, they've looked, you know, robust, if you like. I realise that can sound like I'm damning them with fake praise, but they look like a, you know, yeah, a team that's like ready for like a long season and stuff, and obviously they're well coached, but they just haven't quite got that, for me, that spark. You know, like there's almost something like when you've got a team of players who are like, you know, giving you everything, but they aren't maybe the best, which is what they had last year, I think, versus this year where they've signed, say, Declan Rice, and you're getting all like the last minute winners and stuff. But they need everything to work then, you know, and they haven't quite got the numbers, I think, certainly up front.
That's the thing, the numbers. And Jesus went off the other day, now they said he took a whack on a knee. He's a doubt. It's trending towards he's probably going to play Ian. But that does feel like the difference at times. Arsenal's front three, you know, they're all great. But listen, Martinelli and Saka are brilliant players. Jesus is a good player. But it does feel like that's been the one thing that's let them down. They were linked with a centre-forward all of January, and for whatever reason, I think it was mainly FFP that they couldn't quite get one. So that is the thing that probably Arsenal fans saying, after you got that one, that guy who can make 2-0, 3-0, 4-0 wins, because I say they keep ending, finding themselves in closer games than they probably need to be in, and that's probably one of the reasons why. They're all three really good players, but they're not exactly banging goals in before all three of them.
No, and I think the three of them as well, they're all them players that are looking like to get to that next level now as well. I think Martinelli was really, really good, but I think he's like died off a bit this season. He doesn't seem to be having the season he's had previous. Jesus, I think, is one of them. He starts off pretty well. He always seems to look like he's going to have that season, and then seems to come to a halt somewhere, and I think that's why it didn't quite work for him at City. Also, we had strikers who were just better than him at City, but he always seems to struggle as the season gets on. Don't know if the stamina thing with him or what. Saka, he's a class player, but he looks to be another one who you're waiting to go on to the next level. Now he needs to be, for the way people talk about him, he should be getting more than like 6 goals a season and a couple of receipts halfway through the season. He should be like, people trying to compare him to Mo Salah, which I think is absolutely ridiculous, to be honest with you.
No, yeah, fair enough. Like I say, he's got 10 goals, I think, in all comps. Saka, he's the only one in double digits. Jesus on 8, Odegaard 7, Trossard 7, and Ketty. So they share them round, don't they, John? But they haven't got that, like, killer. Liverpool have kind of got that. Well, they have got it in Salah, he's unavailable. Jota feels like he might be becoming that as well. That might be the difference. Again, that's, you're hoping that's the difference, that Liverpool, if they create as many chances as they can do, like they've done in the last few weeks, they should score. I think if you're an Arsenal fan, you're happy with defenders. I think you'd agree that they've got a really good back four. They've got a really good midfield. The only questions often come around Arsenal is, can they score enough goals? Is the goalkeeper good enough? And maybe a little bit around full-back. But down the spine of the team, they are still a very strong team. They've been good. And like you said, they've shown a lot of resiliency as well, a bit more steel.
They have, and it's that thing, isn't it? It's, you know, you don't want to go into the cliche of like sort of second season syndrome. But I think, you know, ourselves and City over the last 5 years have set the bar so high of, you know, you've got to just grind this out and grind this out and grind this out. And, you know, like, you're looking at our form over, you know, the last however many games, and you're seeing all the wins that we've racked up, even with, you know, the missing players for the Asian Cup and stuff, and obviously the AFCON. And the same with City, you know, they've had injuries, missing De Bruyne, but they're still there or thereabouts, and obviously now they're getting people back fit. You wonder how Arsenal have coped with that, you know what I mean? He's tried to be clever at it, I think, in terms of trimming the fat. You know, he's tried to get rid of some players who've done jobs for him and stuff, but go, right, well, if I've got to get rid of 2 years to sign this with the lads, you know, like a Declan Rice, say, kind of thing, you know, and we go again. But I think they struggle, I think, with the demands of that. And I think there's a lot of pressure that they put on Odegaard, I think, to sort of, in the absence of a number nine, you know, in terms of scoring goals, to sort of deliver on the pitch. And don't get me wrong, he's been fantastic. He's been certainly one of the best young players in the division over the last 2 years. But also, you know, it's whether he feels comfortable rotating stuff. I mean, like, for me, the one I'm always surprised, and I don't have as many Arsenal fans in my friendship circle as I used to, like when I was at university and stuff. But I'm always surprised Trossard doesn't play more, because he always seems to make things happen when he's on the pitch. Yeah. And to me, he feels like the player. He can sort of play across those positions, either behind the striker or, you know, if it's a front three. And I'm always sort of shocked that he doesn't seem to make more of them. He always seems to, he has his lads and he goes with them again. Arteta, for me, like, but I might be wrong. But they're a weird team, because they're clearly, for me, like the third best team in the country. And I'm not saying that to do them down. Like, I think, you know, they are capable of being the second best, or maybe mounting a title challenge. But I think that's the thing that holds them back, really, is that they haven't quite got that stardust in the team where, as you say, if you're struggling on 89 minutes and it's 0-0, there's a fella who's just going to get one chance and put it away.
Absolutely. And before we start moving on to Liverpool and do a couple of other messages and stuff, Ian, we've seen in both games they've been tight. Liverpool, actually, I know they scored in both games. Salah scored, he has Zinchenko on toast, and that is a shame that Salah, we're led to believe, although Mo Salah's Instagram might suggest he's trying to get back. The last we heard of the manager was that he won't play, but who knows, I doubt he'd start anyway. But we have found it difficult to create too many goals. Like I say, the 2-0 in the FA Cup is an own goal, then a late one as well. What Arsenal do have is a very good defence. You know, all round, really, they've got top players. You know, everyone's been impressed with Saliba and Gabriel, and then Rice sitting in front of them. Like I say, Liverpool have got the best defensive record in the league, but Arsenal have got the second best defensive record in the league. And you can see why. Like, they are very, very solid. They don't give up tons and tons of chances. Like Liverpool got against Newcastle, and Liverpool got, like, even obviously the other night against Chelsea. You don't tend to get that. No one really gets that against Arsenal. They are very well disciplined at the back.
Yeah, and that's all down to Arteta, isn't it? Arsenal for many years were seen as a bit soft after Wenger.
100%, yeah.
You could go there and you could bully them. I don't think that's an issue now with Arsenal anymore. I think they've got players in there who are ready, something willing to stand up for the centre, like Saliba and Gabriel. Like some our players who we've got who do like to bully players, like Nunes, who comes in and bars people over, and like, he's not gonna do that against Arsenal. He's gonna have to do a little bit extra. I just think personally what I've thought about this Arsenal team under Arteta is I don't think they deal well with pressure mentally, and I've been saying all season how you would judge Arsenal is what they do when they first drop points and when they first lose a game, and that's what happened in December. They lost the game and then lost again, and it went a bit patchy. They had a draw thrown in and stuff like that. Whereas I think the difference with Arsenal and Liverpool and City is I'm not expecting City to drop up any points or lose any games now up until probably April or May. Yeah. And even if let's hope it doesn't happen, but even if we were to lose on Sunday, then I would expect the Liverpool that is playing now to then go on another run similar to a Man City one.
Absolutely, and we hope, fingers crossed, they don't do that, but yeah, absolutely. But I think both teams know how big this game is for sure. Right, couple of messages before we start talking on about Liverpool and their team news, injury news, etc. First of all, our end of season party. Tickets are now on sale, and they sold more than, well, around half went in just 24 hours. So yes, we're going to be at Hotel Anfield the night before Liverpool's final Premier League game of the season. Yes, come and celebrate with us. Tickets are on sale now. They're over on Skiddle. If you go to all our socials, you can find them there as well. I'll ask producer Joe to put a link in the description as well, if you don't mind. Joe, get yourselves involved. Book them. Do not wait, because I promise you now, they're going to probably sell out by the end of the weekend, because they're absolutely flying. So yeah, if you want to come and join us, please do so. We're also live in spring, in March and April. We've got Belfast, we've got Dublin, and we've got London tickets. They're live shows. They're not the end of season party, they're different. They're us on a stage doing our usual shenanigans. Plus, you've got music from Keo as well. Again, link is in your description. But again, if you just go to ticketmaster.ie and search for the Red Men TV, you'll find the tickets for the Belfast and the Dublin shows. They are March 24th. And 25th, and then we're in London in April again. If you go to axs.com and search for Redmen TV, you'll be able to get your tickets. Yeah, come and see us. But if you want to come to the end of the season party, you're going to be in and around the city for that last game. I promise you will have to book them very, very shortly, because they are flying out. I'm delighted with the response, actually. But yeah, get yourselves involved. Next order of business, we have to give this away. Can you hold that up for us, please, Ian? That is a shirt signed. I don't know if you can see it actually on this camera, but Kostas Tsimikas has signed it right there. You can see his signature just about. It's better here than the light shining off the white. But honestly, it is signed by him. We're going to give that away to one of our Red Men Legend subscribers. So we're going to bring the wheel up. Now, here we go. If you want to be involved in these competitions in future, all you've got to do is sign up at redmenplus.com. join as a legend and we'll give signed merchandise away to one of us each and every month. This month's winner is Cram Shoe, which is a very strange username, but we're going to go with it. Congratulations to Cram Shoe. You are going to win this, well, you have won this shirt signed by Kostas Timokas. Like I say, if you want to be in February's draw, redmenplus.com is the place to go. Thanks very much, Ian. We'll let you put that down. I'll put your arms in. So go to redmenplus.com, sign up as a legend subscriber. You'll get access to all of our amazing content throughout the rest of the season, including the build-up and reviews, etc., of the League Cup final. And I can exclusively reveal right now, next month's prize is a shirt signed by former Liverpool defender Daniel Agger. So that is the prize that is available for February's winner. So yeah, redmenplus.com, join us as a legend, and you'll be in the draw to win that shirt signed by Daniel Agger. It is the grey kit that is famous for Liverpool's win at Man United. You know, that the Torres 5 kit. It's that shirt, but it's signed by Danny Agger, so you get yourselves involved in that one. Right then, let's go back to talking about the footy and, more importantly, talking about the Reds. The major news, John, from Jürgen's press conference is that Darwin Núñez is a doubt. Jürgen said he took a whack on the foot. The x-rays are clear, he was fine. He said he'd done it in the 20th minute and played on. Jürgen said how proud he was of him, basically, that he went through. He said it was painful and that his foot's swollen, so they're going to have to see how he is. He basically has to see if he can get a footy boot on. It's literally is kind of where they're at. Now, they've got a few days to get there. They've got all of Friday, Saturday and most of Sunday to figure it out. It would suggest, though, that if he's going to be fit, he's probably going to be on the bench. And that is a huge blow for Liverpool. Like, I know Darwin got a lot of headlines in the midweek for, you know, he hit the post four times more than anyone else in Premier League game. He did get his assist. He caused chaos. Liverpool are a completely different team without him. How big a blow is it, do you think, if Darwin has to start on the bench or indeed is ruled out altogether?
I think if he's on the bench, it's obviously less of an issue. But I think if he's out the game altogether, that's a shame, really, because I think he's such a, you know, as you say, for sort of all the headlines he gets, he's such a key player, I think, to what we're doing this season in terms of just how he adds to the team. And that, you know, I think that's 11 assists now he's on, isn't he, after the midweek. And, you know, he's such a key player. It's his attitude, I think. I mean, the other thing I was thinking in terms of the starting lineup, which obviously we'll come on to, is sort of like if they play Ben White again and get Diaz on the pitch. But a similar sort of thing with Darwin, and that I think he just, players don't know how to cope with him. You know what I mean? He's such a handful, and he's, you know, all the sorts of things you'd associate with him, like that tenacity that he just doesn't want to give the ball up and stuff, and things just happen around him because of him. And like, whether he's hitting the post or not, you know, he's setting things up for other players. And I think the balance we've sort of struck weirdly, I think, with Salah not being here and having him in the front, having Darwin in the front three now, I think we're getting to grips with it. I think now other players in the team are going, now I know how to play off him, and I know where I need to be. And when he's making this run, I know it's go ahead, you know, the offside thing was a big thing for a while with him, and he was always offside. But I think now players are getting used to the fact that he wants this ball first time, so I've got to get, otherwise he will be offside when I give it to him, kind of thing. It'd be a shame. I mean, I think, you know, he's clearly such a well loved player by the fans, and he knows that, you know what I mean. So I think you can see how much he gives on the pitch. So if he's took a knock like that and then obviously played on in the moment, fantastic. But in terms of the rest of the season, I think you'd be concerned if he was going to miss an extended period.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case, really. Thankfully, there was no break in the foot when the x-rayed, and that was the good news, Ian. But what it will do, like John says, if he can't start, which it's probably trending towards, you can't, having him on the bench would be such a boost. If he's not on the bench, Liverpool's attacking options, they're still good, but they've gone from 5 to 3 and all three will be on the pitch already. There is no one coming off the bench to make that impact. You know, if you're Saliba and Gabriel, you think, all right, if we can deal with this, there isn't too much coming on. You know, you maybe, if you want a front three change, you're maybe putting Harvey Elliott there, or you're doing something with Szoboszlai, you know, someone out of position. You haven't got that fourth attacker on the bench. That would be a significant blow for Liverpool if they haven't got the ability to do what they've done all season, really, and try and win games from the bench with their attacking options.
Yeah, we've done a lot in later on in games just because of how full of energy our team is and how good they are stamina-wise, but because of how good our bench has been. And I was looking at our bench on Wednesday night and I was like, when did this happen? what a squad we've got. Darwin would be a massive, massive miss. I think he's won everybody over now. I think all them doubters in our fan base have all just accepted he is where he is, and they all just love him. I love it like when he assists somebody and they score, they chant Nunes and not the person who scored. I just absolutely love that. It just shows how much they are behind them. But yeah, there'll be a big miss because I've been saying now for 18 months, we're a much different team when he's not on the pitch.
We create more goals, we create more shots. He, now he doesn't always score them because like someone says here, sometimes you've got the aim of a stormtrooper. it takes him 15 to get it, but it is a significant blow if he's out. We'll come back to the front three in a moment because it kind of picks itself now if Darwin isn't going to be available. Let's go. The main question, I think, Ian, is fullbacks really, because let's start. Can I let you pick left back or right back? Who do you want to talk about first? I'll let you choose.
I'll talk about right back.
Let's talk about right back then, because obviously Trent Alexander-Arnold's fit. He came on the bench the other day. However, he replaced Conor Bradley. And this is, if you'd have said to me 6 weeks ago that there's a genuine debate now who starts over Conor Bradley and Trent Alexander-Arnold when both are fit, I'd have laughed in your face. But now there's a genuine debate about this because Conor Bradley's been excellent. He got a man of the match performance playing an hour the other day. 2 assists and a goal. He was fantastic. Who do you think starts at right back in this one?
I will go with Conor. I'll go with Conor Bradley only because, like I tweeted on Wednesday night, I think with the midfield we're currently going with, there's a better balance when you've got Conor and Joe Gomez playing at the moment. That's for balance's sake and for form's sake, because let's be honest, Conor and Joe have been absolutely magnificent since Robo and Trent have been out. But personally, I would stick with the two we've got just for balance's sake with that midfield.
There is an option, of course, to send him midfield. I'm not sure he'll go for that, John. But I mean, I think it's really difficult because form, Ian's absolutely right. It's Gomez and Bradley. Although, you know, Trent was in great form before he got injured. It's worth mentioning that he was probably our best player. So it's not like Trent was in bad nick. Robbo's been out a long time as well. They're two big players, Liverpool, Robertson and Alexander-Arnold. It is a really difficult one for the manager. It's form over almost. Ability is the wrong way, but like a track record of success that Liverpool have had with Robertson and Alexander-Arnold. Listen, it's a great decision to have, and the manager said that today. You know, he loves these kind of headaches. These are good problems to have. What do you think?
Well, I should say, Ian's took on a good point there, because the point I was going to make is I think the balance of the team, when you've got Bradley in, it's so much more, you know what I mean? Like it's so much more even. If it was me, I'd be picking Bradley, and you know, for the reasons Ian's gone over in terms of, like, you know, what it does for us in terms of form and stuff. But I also just think in terms of if you are going to struggle with, say, you know, a Nunes on the bench or maybe not featuring at all, having Robertson and Alexander-Arnold coming off the bench on 65-70 when, you know, we've just run them ragged for 70 minutes is no bad thing, particularly if you've got Robbo going down the left and putting it into the area, you know, piling a bit of pressure on. So I think he's just got a... This little run of games now, I think, between, you know, which we're most of the way through, apart from obviously next week, but getting through this, and then obviously you've got a bit of a break and then the Europa League and that kicks back in and we're going to be rotating anyway regardless again. I think he just needs to get through this, and I wonder if obviously he's going to try and play Trent and Robbo back into the team and get them ready. Trent's obviously not been out as much as Robbo in terms of fitness, but I think he might just stick, and then in terms of twisting, he'll twist in terms of bringing them off the bench rather than starting.
I think I'd definitely play Gomez. I'm certain about that one. I'm not sure at right back. And this is no disrespect to Conor Bradley. He's been absolutely fantastic and no issues if he plays. But it is Trent, and like he was the best player before his injury. It's a difficult one. Like I say, he can go in midfield, and that is certainly an option that Liverpool might look to explore. I suppose the rhythm thing that Jürgen talks about, then it probably would be Bradley's position with Trent coming on, but saying to your vice captain you're on the bench for the biggest game of the season as well, like that is a thing, you know. I don't know, it's a difficult one. There's no wrong decision in this. I would be surprised though, Ian, if he didn't start Gomez again. He had a really good game against Saka both times, no, in the cup, and then obviously when he come on when Tsimikas got injured in the home game, and it just feels like that defensive solidity down that left hand side. And this is no disrespect to Robbo, but he probably don't know if Robbo can get through 90 minutes just yet anyway, and you don't really want to start someone if you don't think they can get through 90 minutes. I would be shocked if it's not Gomez.
I'd be shocked if it wasn't Gomez now, but basically just because of the form. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, Robertson was on good form before he went, but he hasn't been in the greatest form ever, if you get what I'm saying. Joe Gomez has just revitalised this season. He's back to Joe Gomez 18-19 levels for me this season. Yeah. He's been really, really good. And like I said, it's a solid. If we were playing somebody different, we were playing like a middle table team, and we didn't need the defensive. There needs to be defensively solid like we need to be on Sunday. I'd probably go, let's go all out and go Trent and Robertson. But I just think for that balance, for the biggest game of the season, I'd just go with Joe and. Connor Bradley.
He's the Northern Irish Connor Cafu. Midfield, it looks like McAllister's fit. That's a main one. Obviously, he took that whack late on, and you know, Jürgen had his head in his hands at one point. It seems like, albeit he would be well. Jürgen was talking him up today, calling him, I think he called him a doctor or something, which was a strange way of saying it. But yeah, McAllister plays as the six. I'm guessing, lads. There's not an error. Thankfully, he's fit, because there might have been a little issue there if he wasn't injured. Because obviously, Enzo is still away. Am I right in just saying Curtis Jones plays, John?
Yeah.
You stick with it. I think you've got to. I mean, like, there was a stat floating around after the Chelsea game that it's something like, I can't even remember what the difference was, but it was something silly, like how much better RXG is, but also in terms of how many goals we score when he plays for Liverpool. And it's, you know, he's, again, you don't want to sort of burden players with the, you know, the memories of the past, but he does just feel like Ronaldo reborn, doesn't he? You know what I mean? He's such a key player for that system, just in terms of ball recoveries and stuff and keeping things moving and keeping things ticking over. So for me, if he's fit, he's on the team sheet.
Okay, cool. I would agree. So Szoboszlai, this is where it could be Trent. If Conor Bradley plays, Gravenberch is available as well. I thought Szoboszlai looked good coming back the other day, and as long as he's pulled up all right, would you expect it to be him?
Yeah, I fully expect Don to play there, especially after getting his goal, because they're going to want our midfielders, the ones who aren't sitting and doing the defending. They're going to want players to play onto Arsenal and go get in the box and get goals.
So
that's who I'd go with anyway.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And in the front three, it looks like it picks itself, John, obviously, with Darwin's injury. If he's fit to go, I think he would start, and then there's a question. But given this thing now, I reckon Liverpool might just be careful with him. There's a chance he probably isn't going to train too much. Mm-hmm. He left Anfield in a boot. Now, unless the swelling's gone dramatically down where he can train today or tomorrow, we'll see, of course. With that being said, then it's Gakpo, Jota and Diaz. The only question mark becomes who plays where. Mm. So if you were sort of those three into a front three, how would you go about doing it?
Because
you can all do everything, pretty much.
Pretty much. I mean, for me, like, it's weird with Jota, because I think I prefer him, even though I sort of think of him as always being in the box, I think I almost prefer him playing on the wing. It sounds weird, yeah. But
he drifts in, doesn't he?
He drifts in, it makes it easy for him to get into the area. Yeah. He's the one arriving rather than the one doing all the legwork. I think I would be looking at probably some combination of him probably jotting on the left, Gakpo up front. And then for me, I'd be doing everything I can to get Diaz on Ben White. And I think was he the right side he played when we played them in the league?
In the second half.
So I'd be looking if I can to get that set up.
If it's Ben White, though, he'd have to be Liverpool's left, wouldn't he? Because Ben White will play right back. Mm. It was Zinchenko who Salah had on toast, and then it was it's all messed around.
Flip that round.
I'm thinking Luke says in the chat, Jota goes in at right wing for me, and I think I'd agree with that one. I think I would go Diaz left, Gakpo up top, and Jota on the right. I love Jota, and I think listen, he would be in my team every day of the week, and he can play nine. I think he's more dangerous running with the ball into the goal than getting it played to him in and around the box. Gakpo feels like he's the one who's most comfortable getting the ball in those areas.
I feel like when Gakpo is on form, he's playing well. He's almost like a Firmino light, if you know what I mean. He does that role better than anybody else.
Yeah.
I think as well, like Gakpo, I was going to say, I think his size. I think if you look at him, obviously, you know, he's not obviously like a number nine, but if you're looking to put the ball up to him, kind of thing, he's the tallest. But also, in terms of playing off Saliba and Gabriel at the back, you want someone who's quite physical and quite tall, and he again has that sort of Ronaldo quality. If he doesn't really, when you throw the ball at him, he doesn't seem to lose it, even if he's like half fallen over or whatever, the ball still sticks. So I think that's important for us, I think, in terms of having that up front.
The only thing that front three is probably lacking is that pace. Jota not slow. Jota and Nunes and Gakpo, they're not slow, but there's no electric pace. Nunes and Salah, although Salah hasn't shown too much, he still can't. He's got it in the bag if he needs it. Nunes, we've seen, has definitely got it. It feels like it makes it a little bit easier for Arsenal to play the high line they want to play. Obviously, that is the downside, really. You would want Nunes stretching them. We saw he stretched Chelsea and they couldn't cope with him stretching them the other day, and that allowed the space for Jota and Szoboszlai and Jones to get in. That is the thing with that front three, really. Is there a long ball over the top? That Diaz is decent. Diaz and Liverpool show they're in form. They're not afraid to hit Diaz on that diagonal ball. But it does feel like, Arsenal could probably go a yard further up the pitch when they don't have to worry about Darwin's pace in behind them.
If you haven't got the Darwin's pace behind them, when you've got to go further, I'd be tempted then to go with Elliot before Szoboszlai, because I think he plays better around the box than what Dom does. Right. I think he's cleverer on the edge of the box and finding space for strikers. I just think he's a bit more technically aware around the box. So if we're going to play... If we're going to push them back a few more yards, I'd be tempted to go with Elliot.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, it all makes sense. Like, there's a lot of players knocking at the door. Like you can name 15, 16 lads who are all fit, who all deserve to be in the team. That's because the emergence of Bradley and Quansah. I don't think Quansah will start. I think it will be Konate again. We kind of didn't touch on that too much. But there are lads knocking on the door now as well. You know, so whoever doesn't start, there could be a bench, for example, of Gravenberch, Elliot, Bradley or Trent, Gomez or Robertson. There's a lot of players there.
Yeah, as well, potentially
out there getting on as well. It's interesting times ahead. Right then, before I ask you guys for your predictions for this game, just want to have a little quick whiz around the Premier League fixtures for the weekend. As it stands, like I say, the table, the top four is Liverpool, City, Arsenal, Tottenham. I'll mention Villa in fifth as well, because they're level on points with Tottenham. So I'll flip over to the matches. Tottenham go to Everton tomorrow, early kickoff, which is a difficult one for them. You would think that's a game that Everton might fancy the chances in. I mean, Everton have found themselves back in the bottom three, relegation scrapping again. That's a difficult game for both of them.
That might be a draw, I think that could be a draw. But like a high score, like a 2-2.
I mean, if Everton score two goals, the world might collapse. I mean, but yeah, that Luton win the other day has really seen some pressure on Everton. Sticking around the top four battle then, obviously we play Arsenal. Villa go to Sheffield United.
You've got to think Villa.
Did Sheffield United beat them? Did they get the point against Drew, I think? It was a late goal as well, back in a few months ago. These fixtures are coming around fast. This is where they're doing the quick flip reverse, so that's a tough one for them. Obviously we play Arsenal, then City go to Brentford on Monday night. Not a barrel of laughs. Brentford, there are certain teams who City drop points against. It used to be Southampton all the time, they're no longer here. It's Liverpool, Crystal Palace, Tottenham, Wolves, and it seems Brentford are one of those five teams, John. City are in good form and they're in good nick, but after the fixtures have kind of gone their way a little bit, and they've done their job and they've done it well. Brentford away on a Monday night isn't a barrel of laughs, is it? That is another test for them, especially if Liverpool can beat Arsenal. That gap then is 8 points. They'd have two games in hand, and they're both actually against Brentford. It does feel like that's a significant game. We'll all be watching that one with half an eye. When they play Burnley the other day, I don't think anyone was expecting anything from Burnley. You can see a world where Brentford have hurt City in the past, so we know that that's an option here.
It is, and I think it's you've touched on, I think, the right thing there in terms of the psychology of it. It's that if we go do the business against Arsenal, and all of a sudden it is 8 points, if you're City going into that game, all of a sudden it's a bit more, there's a bit more on it, but it's also, that means therefore that there's a bit more for Brentford to get in. I mean, I think Brentford under Frank, they're a team of moments, but the coach that way, the coach that for this when this happens in this 5 minute spell, we're going to do this. And that's when when we get ahead and score the goals and stuff. I think Tony coming back for them is such a big thing, because I think he's such a weird player, isn't he? You know, he's got that star power in terms of, no disrespect to Brentford, he's clearly going to end up playing for like an Arsenal or whoever, in the summer probably. But he could go and score a goal on his own kind of thing. And then they've got the team around him who are set up brilliantly regardless, you know what I mean? So it's a really interesting tactical matchup that I think. And I just wonder whether, as I say, if we can go and do the business Sunday and psychologically put the pressure on City to be like, you've got to go and win here. You know what I mean? You can't be going, because I think Pep's thing is to set up almost with an abundance of caution. I think he'd rather go and be like, if I have to bring an attacker on, maybe late on to try and get a goal and we win 1-0, Pep's almost happy with that. But I think if he's going there thinking, I've got to get this, I've got to chase this, then all of a sudden...
And Brentford are now out of the relegation battle, it's worth mentioning. They had that run of form that they had, where they had a lot of players out injured. They've been sucked back into it. By the time the game starts, I'll just bring the table up here again. They're currently 15th on 22 points. But, Everton, Luton, Forest, if they all pick up wins, and they're playing difficult games, don't get me wrong, Luton at Newcastle, obviously Everton, Tottenham. But a couple of wins there, and Brentford are right back in it. So that's... I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Maybe it makes them a little bit more resolute, Ian, because sometimes I used to feel they're quite carefree.
Yeah.
But a team who can attack, but also have got that real defensive mindset, solidity to really try and keep the back door closed. That could be the type of option. I know we're back to talking about City's fixtures again, hoping. But again, they're one of the few teams I would give half a chance of getting something against City.
Yeah, and the thing is with Man City as well, is I think sort of like us, they do concede chances. Like, Liverpool concede chances, they do. And when you've got Tony in your team, and there's always a chance. Yeah. He doesn't need two chances, does he, Tony, to get a goal? So, fingers crossed, he concede two.
that would be nice. Right then, guys, let me know in the live chat right now, all you guys who are watching along, your score predictions for this one, as I let you know one more time. Live show tickets. Get your tickets now. Skiddle.com. They are going to be flying out. The end of season party tickets as well. So end of season party tickets on Skiddle. The live show tickets are on Ticketmaster.ie for the Belfast and Dublin ones, and AXS.com for the London ones. Come and celebrate the end of a magnificent era for Liverpool Football Club. In all four of those venues, we're going to have an absolute ball. Daniel thinks Liverpool are going to win 4-2. With Arsenal going 2-0 up and then Liverpool coming back to win, that would be quite the comeback if they can do that against this Arsenal team. My head would be fell off at 2-0. And my top would be off at 4-2. JD's gone for 3-1 to Liverpool. So has JT. Footy Bites has gone for 3-1. So has Clive's gone for a 2-1. Lots of confidence. Phil's gone for 5-2 as well. That's a big result. John, I'll start with you. Arsenal, Liverpool, can attempt you for a score?
I think they'll probably score because they do at home. So I think it'd be 1-3. I think probably, I don't want to go 3. I think we'll click and they'll score. So yeah, 1-3.
3-1 if Nunes plays, 2-1 if he doesn't.
Okay, I like that. 1-0 to Liverpool.
No, I
don't think I could cope with that. I know in your head as well, it'll be like Jota scores in like the 8th minute.
Back to the wall. Honestly, just give me that win. Just absolutely give me that win. I don't care how it comes, who does it. Like we saw in the FA Cup game, I think it's going to be a very tight game like that. I just see Liverpool nicking it because we have got the firepower. And if that happens... if you'd have offered those 6 points from six before, obviously, I mean, you would have took it, but if you'd have said 6 points from six from these this week that was, Ian, I mean, you can't help but get excited at that point.
Well, I tweeted about 6 weeks ago that if Liverpool can beat Chelsea at home and then go and beat Arsenal away without Salah, we'll win the league. That's what I put. So if that happens on Sunday and we don't win the league, I'm going to get absolutely hammered.
Because the fixture list, again, it's you don't want to look past teams because we've seen before, but you play Burnley at home, Brentford away, and then you play, well, it's meant to be Luton, we'll see when that game gets moved to because of the cup final, and then you've got Forest. Like, Liverpool have got a chance, if they can win this one, just to keep that gap going and going and going. Like, you don't want to overlook any team. We've seen Luton and Brentford both cause Liverpool problems not too distant past, John, but that's why this is such a big one. If he can get the 3 points that we're all suggesting he can do, it's going to be a massive, massive occasion. Whatever the result is, Man City are desperate for a draw or an Arsenal win. Liverpool could really, really tighten the screw here and put the pressure big time on Arteta and on City.
Oh yeah, I mean, this goes full circle to where we started when you sent top of the show in terms of Arsenal. We win this, I think Arsenal really know that they're fighting for third. And then in terms of us and City, I mean, I was looking at the table the other day, and it's weird, isn't it? Because we're just going into February, and like you're looking at the table in sort of Christmas time, and you're going, oh, well, we're only sort of 10, 15 games in, where are we kind of thing? And then you're looking at the table now and going, Christ, like after this, it's like 15 games left. It's not a lot. All of a sudden now, I'm really treating this game, I think, as if we win, this is where the running starts for me in terms of every week. Then you're going to be looking at the table. And as you say, the fixtures we've got coming. I was hoping City had some harder fixtures. Yeah. I was looking at the fixtures before we started, and it's a bit of a mixed bag for City.
They've got their annual pasting of Everton they absolutely adore battering Everton. Yeah, they've got Brentford away, like I mentioned. Then they've got Everton. Then they've got Chelsea, and then they've got Brentford again. So there's a couple there, but in between they will batter Everton like 7-0 in that R12 kickoff. You are right. There is a chance here for Liverpool to really make a massive statement on the world stage. Hopefully, fingers crossed. We're all predicting they can do it. Most of the guys in the chat are predicting it as well. If you haven't already, if you're watching this on YouTube, after the fact, let us know your predictions and team selections in the comment section below. If you're listening to this as a podcast, you can get us on socials. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter or X or whatever you guys are the cool kids are calling it these days. Let us know your thoughts as well. Liverpool's team news, what team you would pick, and also a score prediction. Do come and join us for the watch along on Sunday. First show, the uncensored match build up will go live around 3:15, reacting to the team that Jurgen Klopp picks. Then the watch along will be live from 4:15. So come along, come and join us. Go and get your live show tickets as well. And yes, we'll see you on Sunday for the biggest game in Liverpool season so far. See you all then.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.